Numbers chapter 13, verse number 15. I guess here is really the emphasis of all things. The first two words, by Him. Speaking of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. Our great High Priest, our soon coming King. By Him. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can be seated again tonight. Brother Lucas already shared Abraham and how Lot took the good stuff. I was almost feeling like Abraham. I think, okay, Lucas is taking the good stuff here. Hallelujah. No, not really. Praise God. But I like what he said, that Abraham didn't gripe. He didn't complain. He didn't murmur. He didn't whine. He didn't say, well, now I'm never going to have anything good. He just said, let's go dig a well. Hallelujah. Why did he want to go dig a well? Well, he wanted to go dig a well because Lot just took all the plains where the water was. And he knew his God. Woo! Hallelujah! He knew his God. And he knew maybe his land wasn't quite as good as Lot's land, but he knew if he dug a well, God would bless it. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory! Never hurt anybody to roll up your sleeves and get to work. Glory. That's not the full message here tonight, but it's just a matter of he praised God instead of whining. Hello. Glory. He praised God instead of complaining. After all, it was Abraham said, you choose first. He fully well knew what Lot was going to choose. He didn't mind, once again, because he knew his God. And his God had done given him a promise to be his keeper. Hallelujah. And he just kept on serving God in whatever circumstance. You'll find all through the Old Testament. I mean, it was just shared about Joseph not too long ago. Everything he went through, and yet he still served his God because he knew his God was with him. God's there, and it's been said before. He's there on the mountain. He's there in the valley. He's just our God. But here tonight, I want to share the motive of praise. Because Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, said because of Jesus Christ, we now offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Not just one time a year. Come on now, not just one time a year going into that presence of God, but continually offering praise unto God through Jesus Christ. And then he gives us a little insight. This is the praise that I'm talking about. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Hallelujah. Continually thanking God for everything that is going on in our lives. You remember the scripture where Peter said, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Wow. You know, we hear that, we look at that, and we think, oh, Peter just didn't know what I'm going through. Oh, wow. Oh, my. I don't think we ever knew what Peter went through. Hallelujah. Peter's the man that was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified like his Lord. Now, can you do that? Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, Peter knew what we go through. Peter knew the Lord. He knew the hurt and the heartache of losing someone he loved. Because they were all devastated and in despair when Jesus died on Calvary. They had lost their King. They had lost their Christ. They had lost their Messiah. They didn't fully understand. They were devastated. Jesus, he knew that. He knew that very well. He knew they were going to be devastated and they were going to just spread out everywhere and just be scared, depressed, discouraged. the two men on the road to Emmaus? Didn't our heart burn within us as Jesus came nigh to them and they didn't know it was Jesus? Oh, wow. It's amazing when Jesus comes on the scene. Sometimes we know it's Jesus. Sometimes we don't. Until we start putting it together and realize, wow, that was the hand of God on my life. Woo, hallelujah, praise God. I mean, this praise, the motive of praise is what I'm after here tonight. In Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Hallelujah. Now what are we doing? We're offering up the sacrifice of praise to God continually because of Jesus Christ and what he has done. The fruit of our lips, our mouth, our words. Amen. And for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Hallelujah. Praise for the child of God should be like breathing for natural man. Woo, hallelujah. Why? Because of the heart. Hallelujah. The kingdom abides there. The king on his throne, already been talked about tonight. The king on his throne abides there in my heart. And out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaketh thanksgiving. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praising you, magnifying you, lifting my hands, lifting my voice. Hallelujah. You see, if you come into the house of God and you don't have praise on your lips, that means you don't have an abundance of it in your heart. Ooh, hallelujah. I mean, David put it like this, Psalm 57:7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. You see, praise, and somebody shared it this morning. Hallelujah. I'm just gleaning here. I trust you are too. I'm just gleaning here what God has been doing over the past month and how he's been speaking to us. Hallelujah. I will sing and give praise. Why? Because my heart is fixed. God has moved in my heart. He's moved in my soul. He's renewed my mind. And all it can bring is thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in my life. And that's what it produces when my heart is in a right relationship with my God. Hallelujah. It just makes me want to praise him. And when I have opportunity to do it, I just do it. Hallelujah. I don't have to be moved by the music. And I trust it's not the music that moves you. If it's the music that moves you, it is not praise. I'm sorry. If it's the music that moves you, it's just you. Hallelujah. But if it's the words of the songs of Zion, hallelujah, that are talking about our God and praising our God and magnifying our God, and those words rise up in your soul and the abundance of God in your heart, you lift your voice in song and you give praise to your God and you sing unto the King. Hallelujah. I've never had a problem singing ever since Jesus saved me. Not at all. I never really sung until then. When he saved me, he put something in me that made me want to sing. Hallelujah. Not just to sing, but to praise. Hallelujah. Because I read in his word that he wants to be praised continually. Ooh, hallelujah. Not just in church. He wants to be praised in Sunday school. Ooh, hallelujah. You know, I remember going to a youth camp in Virginia, and it was a little bit different because I'd never really quite seen it like this. Because here in Oklahoma, we do most of our praising and our worshiping in song and in singing. And so we got there, and singing's going on, and there ain't a whole lot of worship going on. There ain't a whole lot of praise going on. You know, us from Oklahoma are the only ones that are praising. You know, we're thinking, oh, no. Oh, my. And then we moved through the praise and worship, and the preaching started. I'd never seen quite a sight. I mean, they were on their feet. They were worshiping God. They were praising God. They had kind of been taught that you worship during preaching. Hallelujah. And they were magnifying God for the word of God that was coming. I watched this little man right over here called Lucas Sanders. He's just a little kid then. I watched him run around that big building, and he come across the back, and I thought he tripped and fell down, but he didn't trip. He just went down and started rolling on. Hallelujah. Right across the floor. He was wearing a white suit, and it didn't even get dirty. Praise God. He rolled down through there and then got up and kept on running. So, young people, don't be afraid to fall down. You can still move rolling. That was during the preaching. Hallelujah. Oh, why? Because God was in the house, and they had been taught to worship during preaching. So I think we've got a next level. Woo, hallelujah. We're doing real good about worshiping in song now. Let's start worshiping while we're preaching. Hallelujah. Glory to our God. Anybody with me? I don't have a problem with it because I'm preaching. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let us there. The motive of our praise, it's coming from within. It's coming from out of our heart. Oh, I mean, whatever we meditate on, whatever we ponder on, whatever we think on, well, that's what's going to come out of our lips. Hallelujah. What is praise? Here are some definitions of praise. If you don't know what praise is, we'll give you some definitions according to Merriam-Webster. Now, this one's kind of obsolete, but it's a set of price on it. Savior mean to you? How much does your salvation mean to you? Jesus, you know, says who much is given, who much is forgiven, they will praise. So praise is your value of your salvation. What it really means to you. Now, if you can take it or leave it, that's how your praise life will be. Yeah, if you can be in and out, that's how your praise life will be. You see, because it's the value to commend the worth of, or express approval or an admiration of you, approve of God tonight. Do you approve of what God's word says tonight? Does he get your seal of approval on how he operates and he moves and he works? Woo, hallelujah. I mean, this is the glory, lauding the glory of God, as in song and glorifying God and extolling God. You realize these are all things done with your voice. Now, if you have a problem praising God, number one, you've either been taught wrong and you're still hung up in the wrong teaching. Or number two, your heart hasn't been fixed yet. There's a lot of people in church, their heart hasn't been fixed yet. They're good people. A lot of them are committed to coming to church. But they've never had their heart fixed. They've never been born again by the Spirit of God. They've never had that encounter with Calvary. Ooh, hallelujah. To where it brought that transformation of heart, hallelujah, mind and soul, and a new creature was created inside of them that gave them the advantage of praise. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory. To praise. The noun form of praise is the act of praising. And it can be considered applause, applauding, to esteem high, to loud, to commendation, approval, appreciation, cheering, hallelujah, adoration, to acclaim, recognition, homage, extolling, magnifying, glorifying, celebrating. Hallelujah. Exalting, giving thanks, crying unto, singing the praises of. That's praise. That's why we give the Lord a hand clap. Because he's worthy. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Oh, that's our applause for what he's doing, and he's doing it great, and he's doing it wonderful. Hallelujah. But the motivation, you're starting to see it already. It's not about me. It's not about what I will receive if I praise. You see, it's a matter of him. By him. It's a matter of exalting him. It's a matter of knowing him. Hallelujah. It's a matter of realizing who I am. Compared to who he is. Ooh. You see, the motive of praise is going to come from when we realize how unworthy we are to receive anything from him. I'm not saying, and I'm not putting it like this, to put a mind frame that we're worthless because we're worth everything because he died for us. And so we are worth, the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ to God. That's how much we are worth to him. Then how much is God worth to us because of what he showed us in the love of God and died for our sins. Then we realize, and we must realize, how unworthy we are for what he has already done for us and all mankind. When we realize and we take on that humility before God, that unworthiness before God, it cannot do anything but produce thanksgiving to God, because we know it's not by our works, it's not by our performance, it's not by how holy we think we may be, or how well we've done, or how somebody else has not done so well. It's not a matter of me comparing myself to anybody else. It's a matter of me comparing myself to my God, and I am unworthy. I am unworthy. I do not deserve anything from my God at all. And thus I want to give to him and not receive. But because my God is holy, my God is righteous, my God loves me, hallelujah, he's just, because I consider myself unworthy and I exalt him, thus then he pours out every good gift from above, every perfect gift from above. I haven't earned it. I realize I can't earn it. I am unworthy to be called his child. But because of that humility, he will exalt me in due time. Woo. So the motive of my praise is the reality of how unworthy I am. Now Jesus said that John the Baptist, there was no greater man that ever walked the face of the earth until now. But then John said, Matthew 3:11, he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You want to know when somebody's on fire for God? They're unworthy. They're humble. Oh, they want to give God all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Hallelujah. I mean, no greater man than John the Baptist, but he said, I'm not even worthy to carry his shoes. I come preaching repentance. And I mean, he was a mighty man of God, and he preached straight. I mean, when they came to him and said, what do we need to do? He told them exactly what they needed to do. Came and said, what do we need to do? He said, be content with the wages you're getting. What was he saying? Well, you ain't really working like you ought to be working. Think about it. Be content with the wages you've got. Don't think you're better than what you are. Humility. You got one coat, you got two coats, give one away. He just preached it straight. This is what the kingdom of God, he said, but I am not even worthy. praise is how unworthy I am. Matthew 8:8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I don't know, I didn't put it in my notes, but I'm pretty sure I'm remembering right. This is one of those times when Jesus said, I've never seen such faith. What was that? That unworthiness, that humility. What is faith? Faith is humility. Me not in control. Me not even want to be in control. But God just having his way. That is what faith is all about. Hallelujah. And here this centurion, he was a leader. He was a man of authority. That's what he was saying to Jesus. And I know that if you'll just speak the word, it'll happen. Wow. How did he know that? Because he understood what it meant to be humble before someone who is greater than him. You know, we've said it all along. If you want to be a leader, then you're going to have to be the best follower the world's ever seen. You follow well. You always have your own ideas and want your own ideas done. Or do you follow well? Huh. Yeah. How good are you at following God? Or do you always want to be in the limelight? You know, always want the praise, always want the glory. Price of humility. It's a price of being a follower. The greatest leader is someone who knows how to follow. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Woo. Luke 5:8 says, when Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. What's that? We start doing good. We start doing right. I mean, we're on the mountaintop. We're high. Hallelujah. We think we're invincible. And the next moment, we're flat on our face. Because pride got a hold of us. And we forgot so quickly the only reason we were at where we were at because of humility. Hallelujah. The pride overcame us again and down we went. And so here's Peter. And all that happened was a great catch of fish. The power of God moved because there shouldn't have been any fish where they were. But there were so many fish that it broke the net. Wow. But look what it produced. That's not a bad thing. And as Sister Lindsay shared it just here a few weeks ago, and Brother Lucas has shared it about his grandma telling him, if you're having trouble getting into the presence of God, you can always enter in at the sinner's gate. Hallelujah. So if you're in the house of God and the power of God's moving, but you're not feeling anything, then you need to rearrange where you're trying to enter in at and go right back down to that sinner's gate and say, search me, O God. Search me, O God. Let there not be anything in me, God, that would hinder my walk with you. And right there, you'll enter right in. Hallelujah. I mean, because he will always hear the cry of the humble. Hallelujah. He will always move upon the cry of that repentant heart, that desire for oneness with God and rightness with God. Romans 12 and 3, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Amen. You want to do more for God? You're going to have to think soberly. You're going to have to face facts. You're going to have to look at the reality. How highly do you think of yourself? Do you think you ought to be in somebody else's position? Why? Because only God is going to put people in the position He wants to put them in according to their faith. And faith, we all understand and know, is obedience. Woo. So how obedient have you been to that which you've been asked to do? Now, Brother Shelton ain't going to like this, but I've got a faithful trash collector right over here. Brother Shelton has been collecting trash ever since I've known him in the house of God. Always. He did not do it last Thursday night. Could be because we weren't here. So just FYI, it's overflowing everywhere. No, but he's faithful. I don't have to go ask Brother Shelton. Brother Shelton, will you take out the trash? I've never had to ask Brother Shelton to take out the trash. Brother Shelton has always taken out the trash. He's taken it upon himself. That's part of his ministry. That's not his only ministry. No, no. Brother Shelton has done Veteran Center ministry. He's done Detention Center ministry. Brother Shelton has been faithful in anything he's been put into. Wow. So think about it. If you want to graduate higher, you've got to be faithful. I didn't start out a pastor. I didn't start out pioneering churches. I started out lost, needing Christ. And God saved me in a little Assembly of God church. And I was content just to sit on a pew and sing unto my God. Because I was saved, washed in the blood, and it's the greatest thing that ever happened in my entire life. Hallelujah. And so I just sat on a pew and I praise God. And I sing real loud. Yes, I sounded like I knew how to sing. Didn't. Sister Pepper, she'll verify it. I did. Pastor's wife sat in front of me. She told Brother Mullis, she said, you need to put him up there leading songs because I'm tired of him being behind me. I can't hardly stand it. He sings so loud. I've always sang loud. Why? Because God saved me. He put a song in my soul. He did. Hallelujah. And I found out real quick that's how God wants to be praised, and it didn't bother me a bit. Hallelujah. And so Sister Pepper had to try to teach me to sing. She had to teach me tiny. You know, as long as somebody else was leading, I could just follow. But if I was going to lead, I had to be on time and in time. I still barely clap right now. That's why I don't play any of these instruments. I just try to sing. Praise God. Because that's what He gave me. He gave me a song. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so it's that measure of faith. But I was faithful. Whatever I was asked to do. Telling this somebody the other night. For as long as I can remember, I've always turned out the lights in the church. The time I got saved and became part of Victory there, I was always the one that locked the door and turned out the light. Made sure the heaters were set like they were supposed to be, and I closed down the house of God from the time I've got saved until today. Every now and then somebody does it for me. I'll ask them to do it, but you'll find that if you're here long enough, Brother Pepper's always the last one to be. It's just the way it's always been. Believe it or not, when I preach revivals, half the time I shut down the churches there too. It's just something I've always done. You never had to beg me, prod me, entice me to be in God's house. Because I never missed it. I never missed it. Never. You couldn't keep me away. The only way I wasn't there is if the church service was canceled. If the door was open, I was in. Called faithfulness. Hallelujah. Glory. I was going to need that when it came time to pioneer a church. I was going to need to be faithful to God to do whatever I started out doing, because I'll be honest with you, there's been a multitude of times I just as soon hung up my hat, threw in the towel, and go preach revivals. That's not what he called me. Hallelujah. And so no matter how hard it gets, I still do what he wants me to do, because that's the measure of faith he has bestowed unto me. Hallelujah. So I've got to understand how unworthy I am. And anywhere that I am, in my position I am, in my walk with God, is all because of him. It's all because of him. Yes, I've got a part. I have to cooperate with him. I have to follow him. Hallelujah. I would never have been where I am tonight had I not learned how to follow my God. Hallelujah. And I'm not saying I never miss it. I'm just saying I try my best not to. Hallelujah. Because there's been a time or two I've missed it, and I've regretted it ever since then. Hallelujah. Oh, my. And I think about it many times, but it doesn't hinder me from going on and pressing forward and pressing towards the prize, because we all fail. As soon as we realize how unworthy we are, we immediately begin to realize how worthy he is. You see, that's what happened to me when I got saved. I saw how unworthy I was, and then I saw how worthy he was. Oh, glory to our God. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Revelation 5:12. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." The motive of our praise is my unworthiness and his worthiness. Psalm 22:23, "Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him. Fear him, all ye the seed of Israel." Woo. Psalms 50:23, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. To him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." That's not just the beginning of salvation. That's not just the born-again experience. That means if I will walk with God, and I will walk uprightly before God and man, God will continue to show me more and more and more of what he can do in the hearts and lives of men and women on the face of this earth, because I'm not going back. I'm going forward, hallelujah, and I'm going to praise him with all my heart, all my soul, all my body. You do realize your body doesn't belong to you, right? It belongs to God, and we are the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. You see, praise, the applause, oh, songs, the voice. Amen. Singing hallelujah and amen. And all the songs of Zion. Hallelujah. Worshiping our God. Praising our God. The fruit of our lips. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I sing these songs, I'm not singing them just because everybody else is singing them. I'm not singing them just because they're good songs. I'm singing them because it's what I am, hallelujah, and it's what I feel, hallelujah, and it's what I want to express to my God. Oh, glory, hallelujah. You see, God is due our praise because of his majesty,
because of his glory, because of his excellency, because of his greatness, because of his holiness, because of his wisdom, because of his power, because of his goodness, because of his mercy, because of his loving kindness, because of his faithfulness, because of his salvation, his wonderful works among men, his consolation, his judgment, his counsel, the fulfilling of his promises, the pardon of sin, spiritual health, constant preservation, deliverance, protection, answering prayer, the hope of glory, spiritual blessings, temporal blessings, the continuance of blessings. I mean, that's a lot God's worthy of. Hallelujah. And that's just a drop in a bucket, if you will, of how worthy our God is to be praised, the fruit of our lips, continually giving thanksgiving to our God.
Just move with the Spirit of the Lord here tonight, church. Hallelujah. Glory. These altars are open. They're always open. God is moving in this house. Hallelujah. He is ministering to us. Move with the Spirit of God. These altars are open. Hallelujah.
the surrender of the will.